Okay, looks like we're live. Back, finally. It's been the longest 5 month wait, probably of my life and probably of all of your lives as well, but the NRL's finally back. We've got week one preview this week. Obviously, I'll be joined by Jacob to break down every single NRL game from round one from a betting perspective. I guess a few little things to get us started before Jacob gets in. Obviously, like our page, we're Punters Pod. I've got a link in the post. We've also got a group where we give out all our tips pretty much straight away, so you'll get them immediately on top of tips that we give out on the podcast, obviously. So just message our page, Punters Pod, if you want to get in our group, and we'll get you in there. If you want to get our tips, if you miss the podcast any weeks, you can go to our website. It's Tripod, that's T-R-Y-P-O-D, tripodbetting.com. You can sign up for our newsletter there as well, where we send out weekly emails with our best bets and offers and various comps and that kind of thing. I've got a few things going on in the group this week. Tomorrow, I'll get Jacob in here real quick. Tomorrow we're going to be having a tipping comp for round one. Essentially, if you get a perfect round in round one, you win a share of $2,000 in CrownBet rewards points. And that's in our group as well. So if you want to get in there, just message our page, Punters Pod. Jacob, how are you, buddy? I was just going through some of the...
Great, thanks, mate. And it's always great to win something for nothing. So yeah, join our tipping comp before tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll have info on that in our group as well. And then a couple of really good sign-up offers as well. If you're new to betting, if you don't have all the sites, we've got a Ladbrokes one going on. Deposit just $50, get 150 in bonus bets, plus an extra 50 if the Roosters win. That's code TRYPODNRL, so TRYPODNRL. And we've got a similar sort of promo for Neds as well. Just use the same code TRYPODNRL and you'll see the deal there. But we're going to try and rush through this one a little bit quicker, I think, because we took an hour last time. We'll just be going through all the 8 games this week and we'll try and keep it to about 30 minutes or so. What do you reckon?
Yeah, so we don't want to step on the toes of last week's pod. We comprehensively went through all 16 teams a week ago. If you want to find that pod, you'll find it a number of places. On this page, scroll back a week ago, on Punter's Pod page. Hit us up if you need a link to that one where we go through every team. So tonight, it's about the 8 matchups for round one. Pressure's on because last year we started the season 10-0, and we're not just going to tell you who we think's going to win. We're not going to just say, oh yeah, Melbourne Storm's too good for the Dogs, but we're going to break it down from a punting perspective. We're going to look at the $1.90 lines, find the best value out there, and there is value and there's money to be made in this round, and we're really bloody excited about it.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Let's kick it off. Thursday night game, finally one sleep away from NRL. We've got the Dragons hosting the Broncos. This line is pick'em, so for you guys that haven't heard us before, pick'em basically means that both teams are $1.90 to win, so you just have to pick the winner, and the total is at 38.5.
Yeah, and a good example of why you do want to have multiple bookies, because if you did say like the Broncos, you would be able to get them plus 1.5 points. And there's a few games this round where the odds are right around even, depending on which team you like. Yep. You can get an edge either with a price or with a better line. And that half point, 1.5 points can be all the difference. We said last week, what if this game gets decided by a Ben Hunt field goal? You know, there'd be some poetic justice there. And, you know, Hunt is a great addition to this team.
You know that better than anyone. You missed out, Jacob, at a multi last year. You guys in the group would know to cash $100,000 and it missed by 1 point. So,
$100,000 lost by half a point.
Half a point, sorry.
on a blatantly forward pass. But look, we don't need to relive that one. But hopefully we can win some of that money back. With the Dragons, that we've already given that out. So I should say we've already given out some best bets and we will give out more best bets through this pod because there's more markets available now. We're taking the Dragons straight up to win. We gave out our power ratings last week, so we've kind of ranked the teams in order of how good we think they are for round one. We actually had the Broncos half a point better than the Dragons, but with the Dragons at home, that is, you know, a reasonable advantage playing in front of their home fans. And I just think, yeah, the Dragons are every bit as good as the Broncos. Really, I know the Broncos came third last season, but I don't think they're going to be as good this year. I've got question marks about Nikorima and Milford, how well they will go together and how well they can defend. You've got Boyd, who struggled with his hammy all off season and, you know, is getting on. You've got McCulloch, who will play, which is great for the Broncos, but, you know, off a bum knee, will he be 100%? And you look at the Dragons, just a deeper side across the park. I really like kind of their balance and all the way through the interchange. And in round one, without match fitness, that's an edge as well. An edge in goal kicking. So definitely that's why we're leaning to the Dragons. So we've already taken them to win. We can get them plus a half a point in the first half. I want to lock that down.
Yeah.
Well, that's on Crown Bet. So lock that down first. Best bet of the night we're giving out. Maybe we should even take them plus a half a point in the second half as well on Crown Bet. Because if they win that half, you win your bet. But if it's tied, you also win your bet. And we do expect a lower scoring game. And look, I've got one more best bet that I'm sure you'll agree with me. We're going to win our first best bet of the season after exactly 8 minutes. We're going to take the time of the first try to be after 8 minutes. Look, in round one, I don't know how fit everyone's going to be and that things could open up at the end of halves, but I do think that both teams will try and start off solid. We've got two teams famous for taking the two if they get a penalty in attack. We've got two teams that really are good defensively. That's on Ladbrokes, $1.80 to no try in the first 8 minutes. So that's the way we're looking at this opening clash.
Yeah, I like it. And especially with that no-try first date, we know that the Bronx take the two. And like you said, the Dragons do as well. But you've got like some half pairings that are new as well in there. So generally, when you've got new half pairings, and especially week one, the coaches always just say, do not fuck up in the first 10 minutes. Just don't do anything dumb. So it's going to be kicks out of touch. It's going to be controlling the ball, that sort of thing. So I really like that. I had actually written down here Dragons plus a half point in the first half as well. I really like that, especially because the Dragons are favourites in some spots now. So if we can get that plus half a point in the first half, that is vital. But yeah, I agree. Like Ben Hunt revenge game, I guess. First game back up against the Bronx. But really, I look at these teams from top to bottom, and I think that the Dragons have a comparable team, if not even slightly better than the Bronx. I think they have a big advantage in the halves. Obviously, Ben Hunt wasn't fantastic in preseason games, but I think overall that's a better halves combo. And I think that the Broncos forwards are just aging a little bit. So I agree. Let's take the Dragons at home to notch up our first best bet win of the year. Friday night, we've got the Knights also at Pickham hosting the Sea Eagles, and the total is 40.5.
Another game that I'm so pumped to watch. I mean, you have the team that came sixth last year versus the Wooden Spooners, but we're all over last year's Wooden Spooners in this one. We spoke about last week how excited we are for the Knights. You wouldn't usually rush to bet on a team that, you know, the public's all hyped about. And I think they've got eight blokes starting on Friday night who weren't in the team last year.
Yeah.
It's kind of about the losses for Manly as well. The loss of Blake Green, a lot of pressure on Croker in front of what's going to be a raucous crowd down in the Hunter. The loss of Dylan Walker, who really is an explosive outside back for Manly and a team that doesn't have that many. I know you spoke about revenge for Ben Hunt previous game. Do we call this the Achille Uwate revenge game? I mean, he will be fired up, but he's past his prime, to be honest. He's not a guy that moves the needle, whereas we do have some exciting outside backs for the Knights as well. Really excited to see how Ponga goes. Excited to see how he kicks, if he is the one kicking goals, because Manly certainly have struggled all last year with goal kicking. Knights don't really have anyone experienced slotting kicks at goal, so I think that may fall to Ponga. We'll see how he goes, but certainly he's exciting with the ball in hand. I really like the fact that Mitchell Pearce, you know, hasn't chosen to go to a contender. He's gone to Newcastle and, you know, he has so much experience playing at a high level, winning a comp, playing Origin. I know people want to shit on Mitchell Pearce and you know, he's had some indiscretions, shall we say, over his career, but I really think we may see the best of Pearce. And I love the combo with Watson. They're obviously teammates already, so you do have a bit of combinations there in the halves. And I just think, yeah, I really rate Nathan Brown as a coach. And I think this is the fans have been so loyal to the Knights for so many years when they've been fucking horrible. This year, they have a team that has belief to make the eight. And I just think that the energy gets them home in round one. And that's why we've already given out plus 1.5. And I should say that we've also got the same deal on Crown Bet. You can get them plus a half a point in the first half and plus a half a point in the second half. I love the look of in this game with the two of the best back lines in the whole, and with, as I said before, team having a great goal kicker. So under 42.5 is an option. Manly under 21.5 is the way I'm looking at this one.
Yeah, I agree with you. And like you said, we didn't even talk about these bets before, and we haven't really spoken today about the pod, but I had the exact same ones written down for the Knights first half and second half on Crown Bet. You just have to take that. But yeah, you're right. I mean, it's like when you have a team, a fan base that has watched the Knights just be absolutely dismal, three wooden spoons in a row,
and they've just had such, when you're that bad for so long, you do kind of have a really shitty home. So bad for so long. Not only that, I'm pretty high on the Knights, just especially first game, but I'm really down on the Seagulls this year. I think losing Blake Green.
Can hear me all right there. Once again, you do have to do your best. You're gonna have to try and get off your neighbor's Wi-Fi, Alex. I don't know if you can correct your Wi-Fi situation, because we've completely the third game, I think the later game on Friday night is going to be Sharks Panthers. I don't know if we can get you back. I don't know if you can try and ask your neighbor. You can move to data, extra bucks to go on data. I'm not sure, but I think we lost you a bit of there, that second explanation. So see what you can do there. But, yeah, we definitely love the look of the Knights, and we had already given out plus 1.5.
My bad.
Heads. That's gone now. But, yeah, I think we've got you back. So, as we explained, we're all over the Knights Friday night. It's going to be a hell of a match. Why don't you set the scene for the later Friday night match?
Okay, Friday night game. You can hear me all right now? All right, very good. Cowboys hosting the Sharkies up in Townsville, and Cowboys are 5.5-point favourites and 37.5 the total.
And it's another one we already had to pounce on, or at least we felt that way. We grabbed the Cows -5.5. This was before the news that Lachie Coote was out. So now I think -5.5 is quite still available across the board. And I still would play that. Still would be taking the Cows. I do think they'll be too good. We've spoke last week about how this side is absolutely loaded. To add, the GOAT, to add Matty Scott, and to add McLean, the off-season signing, to a team that made the grand final, obviously. Up at 1,300 smiles. They're just so hard to beat. Now, you can call this a revenge game for the Sharks, getting their pants pulled down by the Cowboys in week one of the finals. But at the same time, the Sharks went up and spanked the Cows up in Townsville last season after JT got injured. So I think there's revenge on both sides. And, I actually really like the look of the Sharks team this year. I think they've got a really exciting back line in particular. I'm really interested to see how blokes like Moylan are going to go. And I know blokes like Valentine Holmes and Katoa, many people don't know him yet, but they will by the end of the season. I think they're going to have a really good year, but I don't necessarily think they're going to be gelling in week one. That's why I think we've got to jump on the Cowboys here. I've got -5.5. We can potentially look at, we can potentially look at playing the Cowboys over 19.5. Sorry, I couldn't read my own writing. The Cowboys team total over 19.5 points is a pretty good way to go. They should be good for 20 points as well.
Yeah, you would think so. I guess my one concern is that it's pissing down in Townsville, I think, today and all of tomorrow. And it's meant to be pretty much until like noon is the forecast on the Friday. So I don't know if the field's just going to be swamped. I don't know how well it drains up there, or if the rain will continue through to the Arvo. But that's probably why the total is 37.5. It is a bit low when you think of the Sharks and you think of the Cows, with guys like Thurston in there, with guys like Moylan and Dugan, obviously, now. But yeah, I'm with you. I think that 1,300 smiles, we said, is probably a 3.5 point even home ground advantage. And we do think the Cowboys are better than 2 points, better than the Sharkies. Losing Coop hurts, but Hampton is a serviceable replacement. And you may just have the best halves combo in the comp there with Thurston and Morgan. So I think the Sharkies will get better as the season progresses. But for round one, when, Dugan's still new, Moylan's still new, I think I want to stick to the Cowboys, especially at home. But I think the Sharkies will get better as the season progresses, or they'll just fall to absolute shit. The Tigers on Saturday early game, Tigers +10.5 points hosting the Roosters, and the total is 44.5.
So, as we said, we unveiled our power ratings, which was the fruit of our off-season labours, rating every single team relative to basically a point spread or a handicap, how good every team in the NRL is. And you'll find the West Tigers right at the very bottom of our ratings. They were actually half a point better than the Titans a week ago, but they haven't picked Nofaluma, and on a team that, doesn't have a lot of game breakers. I find that quite disappointing. We don't know the story behind it, but he, you know, he was a bloke who knew how to find the white line. And to lose,
yep.
Who else? McQueen, you know, is not right to go in round one. Timmy Grant has not been named in the 17. That's strange to me, like, that they haven't been able to pick their strongest side. And that's, you know, talk about a disparity in talent, or, you know, the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer, because we've got the Roosters, yep. we spoke about last week, just how stacked they are. They're not full strength either, of course, because Keary has not recovered fully. Had the broken jaw, and I think he had complications as well. But you know what? I know the line's 10.5. It's probably too many points to lay. We always say that we don't lay many things at all in life, and we certainly don't lay double digits very often in the NRL. And I wouldn't want to do that in round one. But I think the Roosters dead set will have to be too good for them at ANZ Stadium. So I think at $1.30 to win, that would be a great multi-filler. Just to get the win. And maybe even Roosters -5.5 first half. I think they will just be far too good for the Tigers.
Yeah, they probably will be. I think I want to stay away from this one. I know that the Tigers are absolutely putrid, and we have them in our new power rankings as the worst team in the comp. And in our new power rankings, we have the Roosters as by far the best, well, not by far, but the best team in the comp. I think 14 points better than the Tigers. The issue is, I guess, for round one, this is a game that the Tigers will probably really get up for. I mean, they probably know they're not winning the comp this year. So it's big games like this, especially round one, that they will get up for. The Roosters losing Keary certainly hurts, but they are still stacked across the park. I mean, that forward pack is monstrous, and that back line is deadly as well. But the problem is, you're right, I don't want to lay double digits in round one, especially with the Roosters team that's, everyone's kind of saying, you know, they're premiership favourites this year. They've beaten their own drum all off-season. And now they have to come out round one and play. It's kind of like a bit of a look-ahead spot. They kind of look past the Tigers because they're so shit. They might just think it's a walkover. And that's why I'd be hesitant to lay 5.5 first half, because they might just come out a bit flat.
No, I could see that. I've got question marks over their energy levels. I do think the Tigers actually are a side you've got to be wary of, because they've got absolutely nothing to lose. They've already been written off. They've already been told they're basically, you know, odds on to get the spoon this year. And, you know, with a bloke like Reynolds to inject some new life into this team, they could be exciting. And this is a game I definitely wouldn't, like, play unders. We do like a lot of unders because the public generally bets the overs. But I think on a Saturday afternoon, if it is good sunny weather, the style they're going to play with Brooks and Reynolds playing on the same side, linking up and trying to connect with the back line, they could potentially put on points and create an open game there. But I think, yeah, if it becomes a track meet, the Roosters will be too strong. But I get what you're saying, yep. Totally.
And like we've said before, you know, we pretty much say it in every single podcast, the advantage that the bookies have is that they take 10 cents off the line price. It's not $2. You're not doubling your money. You're getting $1.90. The advantage you have is you can pick and choose games. You don't have to play every game. And I can guarantee you, if you played every single game in the NRL season, you would lose money. So you really have to be, you really have to pick and choose your spots in order to make profit during the season. Saturday, we've got the Rabbits laying 6.5 points against the Warriors. That one's over in Perth, and 42.5 the total.
I think if we had to play every game with the line, we wouldn't lose money, but certainly being able to pick and choose.
Yeah,
maybe
break even. We were
66% on line bets last season. One of the reasons was, I mean, we had about 450 plays across the season, but obviously multiple plays on certain games where we did see value. And as Alex said, you pick and choose when the value is on your side, when the odds are in your favour, and that's when you jump in. And that's probably not how we feel about this game. I know that we definitely are high on the Bunnies coming into this season, and we probably don't have very high expectations for the Warriors. You know, they only won one game in the whole season last year in Australia. I mean, it's an
Australian competition,
and they won once, and I was actually there. So they were 100% when I was in attendance, and 0% in every other Australian game. And I'm not going to be in Perth, so I'm not sure how good the Warriors will go. But I've got a funny feeling that, you know, new season, teams that were so downtrodden last year do tend to at least start the new season with energy. It's a fresh slate, you know. For once, they're not at the bottom of the ladder. And it's still a back line that you do have to respect when blokes are healthy, as we said last week.
True.
But Johnson, Luke, definitely RTS. They can cause problems. Whereas the Bunnies, they've named a full-strength side, but are they 100% healthy? You know, your GI, until we see it, Can we rely that he can dominate a game for 80 minutes? Johnston's come back from injuries, even so has... So definitely the Bunnies are the better side here, but to lay 6.5, had the line, you know, if we could have gotten that 5.5, getting under that key number of 6, different story. But as it stands, I'm probably happy to just sit back and hope that the Warriors show up and that the secret doesn't get out, that the Rabbitohs are the real deal this year.
Yeah, and we are really high on the Rabbits this year. I mean, we had them equal 4th in our power rankings. But yeah, I mean, you're right. The reason we didn't take the 5.5 when it was available, the -5.5 on the Bunnies, you know, a few days to a week ago, was because there were question marks over GI, there were question marks over Johnson. I think there was even a question mark over Crichton, those sorts of guys. But now that they've all been named, this is a very, very good Bunny squad. I think, you know, you look at them last year and they played decent down the stretch, but obviously you didn't have GI, you didn't have Gagai. Crichton's turned into a fucking monster. And I mean, for half the season, they stuck Cody Walker at fullback and Sutton in the halves when that should never have been the case. And now they've got that all sorted out. I think this is going to be a juggernaut team in 2018. On the flip side, the Warriors have actually named a pretty decent squad. I still do like the Bunnies in this game. I wouldn't be taking the Warriors. The Warriors have like an 8-hour plane ride to get to Perth. It's going to be the longest trip they make all year. But I wouldn't lay the 6.5, but I mean, 6 is the most key number in the NRL. And you can get -5.5 at $1.81. I know that it's not a $1.90 bet, but I think that sacrificing 9 cents to get under that 6, go through the number of 6, is probably worth it for some new punters. Saturday night, we got the Doggies and the Storm. This is over in Perth as well on the doubleheader. The Bulldogs are +7.5 points and 38.5 the total.
Another game that we've already given out, and we actually rarely, but it does happen where we don't get the best number. So there were a couple of plays we gave out last week that have already moved. But this one, we thought we were grabbing a great line at Melbourne -7.5. But then the news about Slater not being able to play, which we, you know, thought that he was going to play. We thought that was meant to be a minor shoulder injury. But I still don't think it's going to be too bad. I think this is fine. It gives him a little bit extra time to rest up. I think he plays his 300th game when they do play at home in round 2. So that's all good. But from a Melbourne Storm perspective, still think they'll be too strong. I like the idea of moving Munster to fullback. To me, that is maybe one of the most deadly outside fives that we've ever seen line up in Sarah. Honestly, how good Munster's become. You've got like maybe two of the best wingers in the comp in Vinivalu and Addo Carr. Curtis Scott, you know, is really looking like, you know, potentially a future rep player as well, and Will Chambers, who plays for Australia. So that's a pretty awesome outside five, along with Cam Smith to help out the young halves in Riley Jacks and Brody Croft. A lot of pressure on them, but, you know, they have played games together in the NRL. I'm aware that I'm fading to black here, so I might turn the line on after this one. But, yeah, these guys have played together. And, you know, they could have stuck Munster in the halves or where he will probably play this year and maybe brought in a guy like Tonomapea to fullback. But I think Croft is in their plans as their, you know, next best guy, next best playmaker. And they trust him. Those two can work well together. And then for me, the reason that the Storm will still probably win this game by 8 or more is the forwards just so deep all the way through the interchange. And I've spoken before about how important interchange will be more than ever, I think, in round 1. Just looking at guys like Welsh and Joe Stimson, I just think it's such a complete side and the Bulldogs just don't have enough to offer. I really don't see how they're going to score against Melbourne.
No, I don't either. And I mean, Melbourne had by far the best defense in the comp last year. I'm totally with you. I think Melbourne does win the game, although now with Slater out, the 7.5 is probably more towards the fair side. Although, I'll be honest with you, and I've said this numerous times last year, I fucking hate this Bulldogs side. I can't say it enough. Like, Mbai is so bad. I think in the outside backs, you obviously have the Morris brothers. They're getting old. Then, you know, you obviously have Foran. Maybe he'll inject some life into the Doggies. But first game back, you know, it's still a very much unknown quantity. And, I mean, Frawley is as average as they come for an NRL Hubs. All he can basically do is put up a bomb that's not high enough to trouble anyone. So I can't see how the Doggies score. I think it's a dead nut under. I think that the Storm and Craig Bellamy know that they're good enough to beat the Doggies. He's probably going to tell his young halves combo just to be solid, not to make any errors. They'll get it done with the forwards. And I think the Doggies aren't going to put on more than 12 points against this Storm defense. So I think 38.5, for the type of game that I envisage seeing, I think that's, you know, we'd have to look at taking the under for that one. And quite possibly, I guess, a Bulldogs under if we can find something, you know, high enough. But I think that's a stone-cold under for me.
Well, let's lock in no try in the first 8 minutes for that one as well, because as you both agree, one of the lowest totals of the round, and two teams that are defense first. And what you love about the Storm, and the reason we don't mind playing -7.5, and the reason we will probably look for a Doggies under, is the hallmark of this team is it doesn't matter if they're up 2 or they're up 20. The pride they have in their defense, they do not let in soft tries late like so many teams do when the result's beyond doubt. They really do make it so tough for their opponent for the full 80, and they pride themselves on having such an impenetrable defense. And, you know, last season, so many teams held to single digits. And so that's the beauty of, you know, those some of those bets gives you a lot more confidence too.
Yeah, that's right. Not only for the under, but also, yeah, for the first 8 minutes. Like, it's a bit of nerves there with new halves pairings for both teams, really. And no one wants to fuck up and embarrass themselves in the first 10 minutes. So they're going to play it safe, you know, kick the ball out of bounds, that sort of thing. Try and control the game. So I like that as well. And, yeah, we'll say we'll make no try first 8 minutes the best bet. But we'll have a look tomorrow and try and scout tomorrow morning, try and scout out the best price for you lads. And we'll obviously post that in our group as well. Sunday games, the Panthers hosting the Eels. This line is also Pick'em and 39.5 the total.
So yesterday we posted up Panthers, you can get +1 on Crown Bet and +0.5 point.
I think that's still there.
In the first half, that is still there as well. So we are leaning to the Panthers, the stronger roster for me, and they did name their strongest possible team for round one. Even Wateni Zalesniak wasn't anticipated to play, but he will. And I think that he's been, you know, kind of a well-kept secret just how talented that guy is. But he really can be a guy that can get to the next level, and a guy who has played some test footy. And Dylan Edwards is a gun fullback, so I don't think they do lose a lot in losing Moylan, because we saw what they were able to still achieve when they did lose Moylan for the last few weeks of last season, including, you know, upsetting Manly in round one of the finals. So, you know, this is a very strong side. We have question marks, massive ones over Anthony Griffin and his ability to actually coach a team. So we're going to have to see how that one plays out. We think Maloney's definitely a great addition. And there's a big goal-kicking edge too with, I mean, Maloney is like by far better goal kicker than anyone on the Eels, but he's not even kicking.
Yeah.
Cleary's the best kicker in the comp. And, you know, another year, another off-season for Cleary. He's going to be even better this year. People will be touting him for Origin. So I just think that Panther side, plus they're at home as well. So, you know, all the little edges to the Panthers in week one. For the Eels, kind of a quality side, obviously, a side that was top four last year. But question marks, like how good is Hayne going to be and how is he going to integrate himself back into this team? And even a guy like Kayser Pritchard back off injury, like how good can he be? He doesn't have to do a lot with a lot of other playmakers on the park, but that's going to be interesting. And I, you know, have to give an edge to the Panthers forwards as well in this battle. So to me, the Panthers are the side in this one.
Yeah, I agree. And like, let's not forget, I think the Panthers are the better roster as well. I think the only thing that really the Eels have to their advantage is the coaching mismatch, and probably one of the biggest coaching mismatches in the fucking league. Like, you'd say King Arthur's probably a top three coach, where you could say Griffin is a bottom three coach. But yeah, like, let's not forget, the Panthers did bloody well last year, and they missed Mansour for, you know, most of the season. Obviously, you had your shit going on with Moylan, Cartwright being an absolute piece of shit in the halves with no effort. And I think Maloney's going to be, I think he's going to be really good for Cleary. I think that was a young, raw team last year. And I think Maloney brings a bit of, you know, a bit of savvy veteranship, I guess, to the team. But yeah, I think basically you look at the roster, I think the outside backs are fairly comparable. I think that I would give the Panthers the edge in the halves, I think. I think Maloney and Cleary are better than Moses. Moses and, oh my God, it's, oh, Norman. And then the Panthers, I think, have a better forward pack as well. Not only that, the Lions pick them, but the Panthers are at home. We'll probably give them, you know, 2 points for home field, I'd say, maybe 2.5. So, yeah, you have to land yourself on the Panthers. And I guess similar to the last one we gave out, Panthers +1, Panthers +0.5 first half. but you can get them plus a half second half as well. So I don't know if you want to jump on that one as well.
I would take that and even look at Panthers team total over 19.5 because
I found it. I think round one,
18.5 is even better. I looked back to last year because my theory was that players get more tired in round one, you know, at the end of halves because they don't have full match fitness. And last year, 5-3 to the over in round one. And that included a couple games that were in monsoon rain. So I think that that could be something to that trend. And, you know, as we mentioned before, that Nathan Cleary doesn't miss kicks. So you could score 3 tries and you could still, you know, with a penalty goal or what have you, a field goal even, if you could still cash over 18.5. So I like that too for the Penny Panthers.
It does seem like a lowish total for two teams that do like to throw it around a little bit. And I checked the weather report. It looks like it's going to be fine down there in Penrith. So I think, yeah, we may have to look at some overs for tomorrow as well. Last game of the round, the Titans are hosting the Raiders. The Titans are 2.5-point underdogs and 44.5 the total.
And I did want to interact with some of the comments. James Graham, I don't know if that's James Graham who's just signed with the Dragons. He said that he's lost his semi, a big loss of a semi. So I don't know if that's because the quality of the pod's gone down, or he may be talking about Radradra not playing for the Eels. That's true. That is a big loss for them. But we'll try and get you your semi back. How about we talk about BJ, first of all? For the Raiders, you know, we said last week that this is a team that's got a very similar lineup to who's lined up for them for the last couple of seasons. Great year in 2016, terrible year in 2017. But, you know, a bit of that was just down to bad luck and losing a lot of close games. And I think that they can be a lot better this year. They've lost Josh Hodgson and they're trying to figure out how to replicate, you know, his playmaking. They're obviously experimenting, bringing Sam Williams, who is a good backup halfback, into the starting lineup, and then Blake Austin off the bench. I understand that that's all about injecting him into the hooker spot and then a bit into the halves. So it's going to be interesting to see how that goes because we thought that Austin and Caesar could create good combos in the halves, but that's not the way that Ricky wants to use him. And I know they've signed Ngannou from the Warriors as well. So obviously they feel that they need to improve their playmaking, I would say, or improve their spine. But they do still have gun outside backs. They do still have very formidable forward pack. And it's just going to be too much for the Titans, who won't have, you know, Jared Wallace in round one either, who is an origin level front rower. So that hurts. And, you know, we don't know how they're going to go under Garth Brennan. Usually with a new coach, you do get a high level of effort. And, you know, I would expect a big amount of effort from the Raiders. From the Titans. And I'm not sure if I would take the Raiders -4, but we got a -2 a week ago. So I do love that. And I think you can still get them to win the first half at $1.83 on Crown Bet as well, which is pretty solid too. So do like the Raiders in the final of the round.
Yeah, that's actually a really good price for the first half, $1.83. I've seen that, you know, around the $1.70s, low $1.70s in some places. Obviously, when we gave him out -2, we didn't know Blake Austin would be out, but it's not the end of the world. I mean, Sam Williams is serviceable. And, I mean, you know, obviously, Sticky Ricky's seen something there that tells him either Sam Williams is playing much better than Blake Austin or Blake Austin's just a piece of shit. But let's not forget, yeah, like you said, you know, a couple of years back, this team was tearing other teams to shreds. And, I mean, they've still got two possibly, you know, future New South Wales rep wingers in Kotrick and Rapana. And, I mean, they've got solid centres. You know, this team is just far better than the Titans. We have the Titans finishing bottom two for sure this year, but we've got them as the worst power-rated team in the comp. And I just think, yeah, that -2 is cheap, but I would probably lay it up to about 3.5, I reckon. But at 4, I'd leave it alone. I don't love it as much now with the Blake Austin news. But, yeah, still, Canberra should get the job done. But moving forward, I think they're going to be a very, very high-variance team. They're another one of those teams that can be either on or off, and we'll be very quick to either upgrade them or downgrade them depending on how they look in the first few rounds, because they could be mentally there or they could still be carrying some of that, you know, locker room drama from last season into this season.
And you mentioned Kotrick, superstar, and yeah, definitely has stakes on a sky blue jersey. Rapana, not a New South Welshman, luckily. He's a Kiwi.
Oh, yes, true. He's New Zealand.
Yeah, and he could light it up again this year. And you know, that combo, another guy who, you know, people were talking about for the Blues was BJ a couple of years ago, the way that he played. He was really disappointing last year. So really looking forward to a rebound season. This is the rebound BJ. And who doesn't love a rebound, BJ, this year? And yeah, if that team does click, we've got to remember that how good they can be, because we saw it, you know, an Edric Lee dropped ball away from making the grand final in 2016. So yeah, we do love the Raiders, the Green Machine in round one against the Titans. And yeah, I'm high on the...
And it was all mental. It was all mental last year, and surely that can't be too hard to fix. Just go on a fucking bit of a bonding trip with the boys. Surely you can get your shit together. So I'd much rather bet on a team where the issue's mental than to bet on someone that's talentless, where you kind of, you know their ceiling. But the Raiders, you know, who knows? Their ceiling could be top four, possibly, you know, but we'll have
absolutely
to see how we go around one.
All right, well, let's get our shit together. Let's wrap it up. We're closer to the half-hour mark this week. We do try and give you as much knowledge as we can crammed into a half-hour. We could go on for even longer, trust me. But we've given you a shitload of plays. We're going to summarise these. We're going to look over every bookie that we trust, find every market that's value, and post a full summary in our group tomorrow morning, as well as our power ratings, probably a multi or two if we're seeing value. We did already release a sweet 15-1 multi last week. With all good numbers and lines in that one. So plenty to follow through the week, and bloody hell, one sleep to go. And then it just all kicks off, and it's just, you know, going to be a hell of a ride for the next 30 weeks, which is really exciting.
Yeah, finally, footy's back. It's been a long time coming, a long 5 months. So yeah, Jacob, like Jacob said, like our page, it's called Punters Pod. The link is in the post description. If you want to join our group where we post all our tips first, just send us a message on Punters Pod and we'll get you in there. It's a bit tricky to find, so that's probably the easiest way to go about it. But we do also post on our website, tripodbetting.com, and we'll upload this if you, you know, in future weeks don't want to fucking watch our ugly mugs on Facebook. We'll upload the pod to iTunes every Thursday morning as well. But yeah, make sure you join the group, because $2,000 up for grabs tomorrow if you pick a perfect round. But that'll do it for this week, guys. We'll see you same time next Wednesday. Have a good one.
Lego.